first to Iraq, where today the country's new president nominated a new prime minister to replace Nouri al-Maliki, raising fears of even more political infighting in the government as the country faces real fighting in the north of Iraq, fighting that the U.S. has been drawn into in the form of airstrikes against the Sunni-led militant group the Islamic State, also known as ISIS, which has taken control of some Iraqi cities and forced thousands of people to flee, many of them to a mountaintop. The U.S. has been dropping supplies to help those people. Here and now, security analyst Jim Walsh is with MIT Security Studies Program. He's with us now in the studio. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
Well, what do you make of this move by the country's new president to replace Prime Minister Maliki, which is something that, of course, the U.S. has said that it wants to happen?
Well, I think it had to happen. We are now how many weeks since the election, since this was supposed to be resolved? The military situation has deteriorated, and yet the political process in Baghdad continues afloat with no real progress. I think something had to happen. This is it. So we've come to the showdown. You know, al-Maliki gave a fierce speech Sunday night rejecting this. He's put his own troops out on the street in Baghdad in the green zone. So this is quickly coming down to a showdown.
But will he go?
You know, he's proved to be incompetent at everything except clinging to power. I think whether he goes, if he goes, it's going to be because he feels like he's forced to go. And that will depend, I think, on whether members in his party begin to defect and support the new prime minister. If that starts to happen, if the writing's on the wall then. But he seems like a guy, as long as there's a chance, he will hold on till the end.
Would it be a game changer, though, if he were to leave? Would it really do much to stop ISIS, which is going to probably continue to march in all the directions that they're marching, whether or not Maliki is prime minister?
Jeremy, it's a great question. Is it a game changer? No, but it's the first most important step to be able to begin a process to recreate an inclusive Iraqi government, to have an Iraqi government that the U.S. feels it can support and that others can support. So it's sort of a minimum sufficient condition, the absence of which means we continue down, down, down.
What about the U.S. airstrikes that have been going on? Do you think that they've been effective?
Well, I think they're helpful. You know, air power is one of those tools you need to keep in mind. Very good at some things, not so good at other things. So if your targets are in the desert or an open exposed area, it's great. If you have close air support where you have air forces supporting ground forces, that's great. Cities, not so much because you can't get to your targets or where they're being hidden. So I think the reports so far are that these airstrikes did help some of those refugees to escape through a corridor. That's positive. But that alone is not going to turn the tide. At the end of the day, the Peshmerga, the Kurdish fighting force, has to reconstitute and get back to what it was because land forces have to fight land forces.
Well, and there are some who think that some of those land forces might end up being Western land forces. Let's listen here to General Richard Danet, the former head of the British Army, who told the BBC that boots on the ground might eventually be needed to stop ISIS. Let's listen.
We're looking at a situation. We're worried about a genocide. We can't just sit back and say afterwards, oh, we should have done more.
What about that, Jim Walsh? Do you think that there's a possibility, and this is the slippery slope a lot of Americans are worried about right now, that the U.S. will go back into Iraq with ground troops?
You know, I just don't see it as a political possibility. I mean, I may show up in a month and be wrong, but there's a reason why President Obama has been reluctant to get involved in Syria, in Iraq, all the way down, and even in his speeches, has underlined the fact that the U.S. commitment is limited. Why? Public polling shows that the public is not in the mood for another war in the Middle East, doesn't want boots in the ground. After trillions of dollars and lots of dead soldiers, this is not what they're signing up for. Now, there might be another country that can provide it, or under the imprimatur of the UN, maybe that's possible. But as I said, I think the main thing is trying to, you know, and this is a policy debate right now, but it seems like one of the few options is to try to help the Kurds do a better job on the ground.
Do you see Britain as potentially a country that would send in ground troops?
Great question. You know, we have to see where the Brits, what public opinion and this government is inclined. Sometimes the French have been willing to do things. You can imagine, again, a European or a NATO or some other cloak where the U.S. participates as part of another group, but it's hard to imagine the U.S. going in alone.
And for now, you see it much more likely that an increase in arming of the Kurds would be.
Yeah, it hasn't been decided, but I'd bet on that.
Jim Walsh here, now security analyst with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Thanks so much.
Thank you.